All right, class, let's take up. We had a wonderful class on last session. We're dealing with unfolding the mysteries of the supernatural. We said to you that make sure, understand the supernatural, that all the glory go to God. I want to take up, we're dealing with 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 through 5, Acts 2, 1 through 4, and we have the scripture in Psalm 82, which we started with, to clear this up. The supernatural will clear these things up for us, that we actually are sons of God. When he called you a God, we're saying that you're sons of God. And we're children of the Most High there in Psalm 82, 5 through 7. So you just read that over and over again. Understand this. Well, I stopped off for last time. I'm just going to pick up here. God is committed to bringing you out of childhood into sonship, that all the forces of life will obey you. That's what the supernatural is all about. The devil will become a toy in your hand, and you will enter the fullness of your inheritance in Christ. We talked about that. The whole world is waiting for your manifestation. Now, many Christians who should be solution providers are still crybabies. We talked about that. Believers who should provide the answer are still locked in sickness, poverty, and all manner of satanic bondage. You are not locked anymore. You're out of sickness, you're out of poverty, and you're out of all satanic bondage through the realm of the supernatural, which you're being taught. But that is not God's will. God desires the end time. This is where we stopped at. The end time is to storm. God desires this end time. In his end time is to storm the world with the manifestation of the Son of God, where every man and woman in the church is workers of signs and wonders. That where every man and woman in the church is a worker of signs and wonders. Well, all right, Lord. Let me deal with something about sanctification and holiness, because I messed around and said, instead of saying wonders, I said women. You got to live clean. In my 48 years of ministry, I've lived a clean life. That is so important, because the anointing cannot dwell in an unclean sanctuary, unclean vessel. Holiness and sanctification is so important. From childhood to sonship, sanctification, well, childhood, sonship, led by the Spirit, sanctification, step off in the supernatural. That's all of those are S's, so you can remember that. There's nothing deep about it. Your sonship, being led by the Spirit, there's S there, Spirit, sanctification. I got it, Lord. Sanctification, supernatural, get this down, signs and wonders. It's so simple. So simple. Now, class, I understand, because I've been in many ditches and talking to many mountains to get here. This is not an overnight deal, but I did not have the instruction given to me. My pastor didn't know this. I didn't have the instruction given to me as you are being instructed in this school. So your pattern of supernatural living will flow quickly as you yield. Now, you have to be hungry, you have to desire it, and I believe you are. You wouldn't be in this school. But there's so much insight you are being given in such a short time. Where everyone will be operating on the frequency, get that word down, frequency, of the first century apostle, emitting the same quality of fire, producing undesirable result. Let me give you that again. Where everyone will be operating on the frequency of the first century apostles, emitting the same quality of fire. I want to add to that. Fire, rain, oil, when, and why, produce an undeniable result. And that's one of the things about the supernatural. The supernatural is designed by God to produce undeniable results. Because when people see undeniable results, they're ready to give their life to God. And they don't mind following you. When you say something kind of out of the natural, and you really got to have faith and really be led by the Spirit to accept it, once they see some production, you're going to have production in your life. You're going to have production. You're going to have to let the Holy Spirit and the supernatural work on you now. You're going to have production. Now, I like this statement so much I'll make it over again because it is so powerful. The frequency, we're talking about a frequency. There's a, let's say this, class. I want to get it clear. There's a supernatural frequency that only those who recognize their sonship, the leadership of the Spirit, sanctification, and that the supernatural brings us into a supreme realm. A supreme realm. A realm that is not below no other realm. A realm that is beyond presidents, governors, senators, representatives. The supernatural is a realm above all them because not their attitudes and action, all of them, but God made them all. So everybody is under God. And then when you're functioning in the supernatural, you can't be stopped. There's no stop sign. There's no limit to what God will manifest through you on behalf of his kingdom. So the supernatural is a part of kingdom citizenship. What happened, the enemy, and I want you to be aware of this, the enemy brought into the church a copycat mentality of the world system, trying to please men in the world. You cannot do that. You got to please God. God is the one who has to be pleased for the supernatural to function as it should be. The time has come when signs should follow every of your steps. Every step you make should be followed by a sign, causing you to leave a blazing trail, that's what I'm talking about, of signs and wonders anywhere you go. There's an apostolic, where is that Ananias and Sapphira messed up? I think in the fifth chapter of Acts, there's a voice there that the Holy Spirit called out when I read that statement to you. Acts 5:12. It says, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with, and it's very important, on one accord in Solomon's porch. Many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord. That is so powerful for you to see the church in action. Now, let me give you this also, class. To operate in the supernatural, there must be purity. Write that down. And I'm going to give you a statement on that. The leaders didn't settle for anything less than integrity. You'll find that in Acts 5:1-11. Integrity. The second thing, power. The leaders modeled an attractive supernatural power that met human need. That's Acts 5, 12 through 16. I just read the 12th verse for you. You're going to have to display that power. Also, you have to know to operate in this realm, there are going to come persecution. When you read verses 17 through 18 in the 5th chapter of Acts. Opposition served to strengthen the leadership and their conviction. So opposition don't break you down, it's strengthening you when you're operating in the supernatural. The fourth thing is proclamation. The leaders eagerly communicated their message, verses 19 to 28. The fifth thing that I want you to implement in this supernatural class is priority. Priority, verses 29 to 32. The leaders clearly laid their top priority, which made decision easier. Priority. And the sixth thing is praise. Praise activates the supernatural. Verse 41, in the midst of adversity, leaders maintain an attitude of gratitude and praise God for everything. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! They had an attitude. They praised God. Praise God. Don't just pray. Praise God and worship Him. Force yourself to praise Him and rule your atmosphere. You rule your atmosphere by praise, worship, and prayer. You rule your atmosphere. You don't come here to teach you like I'm in this class. Don't come here without prayer. I don't want none of my instructors to come teaching you without praying about it. Praying in the Spirit, making sure that the atmosphere that we're given in this school is an atmosphere of the supernatural. Now, class, I want you to write down, I'm being trained to live in a supernatural atmosphere. Write that down. I'm being trained to operate and minister at all time in a supernatural atmosphere. That is so important. Let me give you one more. Perseverance. That's verse 42. It's all in the 5th chapter of Acts. The leader kept right on influencing others, living a life of conviction, class, not caution. Conviction. Conviction will take care of the rest of it. All right. And I'll stop and give you these description of stewardship of the supernatural. I'll give you various things at certain time as the Holy Spirit called me all. The time has come when signs should follow your every step, calling you to lead a blazing trail of signs and wonders everywhere you go. This is what I'm announcing on you now. In the days in which we live, God expects you to be able to represent, an able representative of Jesus, that anyone with a desire to see God is satisfied as he come in contact with you, because you have answers to the question of his life. So important. Now, here's another spiritual insight in prayer that God gave me for you in this class. The supernatural is a divine magnet from God. In other words, the law of attraction, the law of attention to God. The law of advancement. All of these things are in the supernatural magnet. This is why you must rise up vehemently against that stagnation or sickness or any other anti-covenant thing that is hanging around you, because the husbandman must be the first partaker of the fruit. So now, stagnation. Now, I never had no stagnation in my ministry in 48 years. My ministry always been alive and well. I never had no need not met. And I think because I want you to hear me well. Continuously pursue of God. Notice I didn't say a car. I didn't say a house. I didn't say a suit. I didn't say a ring. You know, the phenomenal thing is that I have, I don't know, six or seven, maybe more supernatural Super Bowl rings. It just God was showing me that, and I never played no ball. And there's different teams. So nobody in the world got that but God through me. Notice how I said that. But he just showed himself strong. That's supernatural. Yeah, how are you going to have all these championship rings? I mean, these guys gave their life to get a ring. And you got it from different teams. And then one with the Boston Red Sox, I think I got it on now. That's a championship ring that hold a world record because they had been defeated so long, and they came and won that Super Bowl. I haven't studied a whole lot. If I had Fabio with me, he'd be to tell you the history of it. He's my history man. But it's just powerful, man. It's just God show you. I'm a supernatural God. Man, walk up to you and give you his championship ring. I try to talk to him. I said, son, you work too hard. He said, man, you got to have this ring. I can't take it back. I said, all right. And so it's so powerful. And I've had so many things happen in my life based on it couldn't happen unless God made it happen. It's just supernatural. Stick with me. Stick with me. Stay connected. Stagnation is about to leave you. It would, in fact, amount to a thing of ridicule for a believer who is to lay hand on the sick to be sick himself, one who could cast out devil to be oppressed by demon. Every unction passing through you to benefit mankind should benefit you first and foremost. And that's what I'm telling you. I have all these miraculous things in my life that haven't been told, but the glory go to God because I'm not qualified, I'm not capable. But I mean, just so many things that God, in the spirit, in the flesh, all kind of things. In my ministry, he just do things that baffle you, knock you down. And by the time you get up, he knock you down again. That's the position you want to be in. I enjoy ministry. I love God with all my heart and all my mind, all my soul and strength. He's first in my life. And that, you got to ask God to give you that. Ask God to give you that hunger. Ask God to give you that thirst for him. He is the supernatural. Jesus knew that. The disciples knew that, and we need to know that also. All right, now, stick with me. Every unction passed through you to benefit mankind should benefit you first and furthermore. I want you to get that. You can't go teaching people tomorrow. Lord, do that, Lord, and you ain't got nothing happening. How I was talking about when I first came into Money Coming, and I was talking about the prosperity that I saw God placing on my life to be an example to the revelation, prophetic revelation of Money Coming. And another guy was standing, I don't know, two or three guys was standing there. And another guy said, I'm out of debt too. And all of a sudden I said this, yeah, but you ain't got nothing. That's why you ain't in debt. You ain't got no house. You ain't got no car. I guess so, you're out of debt. You're out of life. You know, I remember that happened to me about 35 years ago. I think one of my sons was standing there, Leroy Jr. I remember one time, Leroy Jr. and I, my oldest son, was riding in a car, and I was telling him about this wise man. I said, oh, this man, wise boy. I'm telling you, he'd impress me, you see. And so Leroy, at a young age, looked over me and said, Daddy. I said, what? Do you have any money? I said, forget I ever told you that, son. Just forget it. I'll never forget that. Forget it. Because if you got wisdom, you're going to have some money. Yeah. If you have wisdom, see, wisdom, all right, Lord, I got it. Get this. This is fresh, hot off the press. Wisdom is the peak of the supernatural. Let me say it this way. The wisdom of God is you standing at the peak of the supernatural. You're looking off a high tower rim of sign, oneness, gifts of the Holy Ghost, miracles. When you're operating in the wisdom of God, you're standing at the peak of the supernatural. Now, that just came up in my spirit while I'm talking. That had never been spoken out of my mouth before and never understood out of my mind before. So as I'm teaching you, I'm also teaching myself, because the Holy Spirit is the teacher. And so I come to class excited, because I don't know what he's going to tell us. Hallelujah. So stay in tune. Jesus, the pattern son, remember he is, experienced all that he taught. Very important. Don't keep teaching me something that you have not experienced, because you lie. It's not a reality in your life. It's not a revelation. It's not real. If you're going to keep pondering the word's finally going to be a pathway for you, and it's finally going to manifest in your life. People not going to pay attention to people who just got poems and prophesying all the time, and still, I remember a man trying to write a book about a billionaire, and he ain't had no money. I mean, that's not God. You have to pace yourself. Sure, you have to preach in faith. Sure, you have to minister in faith. But faith manifests. So after a protected period of time, you ought to be able to say, see, there it is right here. Or just let them look. They know that man believed what he preached, and he preaching what he believed, and he have what he preaching. So important. So important. All right, now. Jesus, the pattern son, experienced all that he taught. So that's what I want you to have. He healed the sick and was never sick himself. He cast out demons and was never oppressed by any. He carried virtue for prosperity and was not a pauper. Now, from this class forward, I declare you're going to carry the virtue of health in your body, wealth in your pocket, and happiness in your home. Because that's what the supernatural is all about. The supernatural is not about being whipped up on, so we got to go through some things, giving the devil a credit, you know. I got to watch myself sometime, because I know when God used me profoundly, I must keep my shield of faith up to quench all the fire darts of the wicked one. But he can't penetrate that shield. So we must not give him any accreditation for what he can do. Just keep the shield of faith up, keep the shield of favor in place, and keep the shield of glory in place. All right. If the virtue in you do not benefit you, you may well be called an ass, A-S-S. An ass talking about something they never wore before. A jackass. Remember, I'm talking scripture here. Remember Balaam? Ass was prophesied in Numbers 22:28-30. An ass prophesied. That would not be you. In Jesus' name. The prophet couldn't prophesy. The ass had to prophesy. That is in Numbers 22. Let's look at it. Numbers 22. My God. The ass prophesied. Give me a minute. I'm going to get it. And I think that looking up the scriptures class, I'm getting the Lord getting to talk to me, it give a pause, a salah, where people can think about it while you're looking for the scripture, or they can be thinking while they're turning the page of their Bibles, thinking with expectation. You see what I'm saying? We're so modernized, we hit the button, go on, hit the button, go on, hit the button, screen on, the scripture on the screen, scripture on the, everybody looking at the screen, everybody looking at the screen. They don't have the man, they don't have their eyes on the anointed. See? When you're reading from that Bible, and they're reading from their Bible, they got to look in their Bible and look up at you. But we got it now. You know, I don't want to stop technology. I use it. But from the old school, which is not old-fashioned, I know dressing not old-fashioned. Some of them think it is. They're trying to modernize preachers with them little tennis on, them little band-long shirts on, blue jeans. There's all kind of stuff. preaching the gospel, and then Steve Harvey clean as the board of health as a comedian and running a talk show. Clean as the board of health. News media people dress properly. Sports announcers, clean. Them boys be clean because what they're representing, they recognize the worth of it. And so Jesus, I wonder why they wanted to gamble for Jesus' robe. It was a seamless robe. It was tailor-made for Jesus. The king, Solomon, when the queen of Sheba went to visit Solomon, he was so decked out, she couldn't hardly handle it. And I know they're trying to modernize the church with hippie stuff, with keep up with the time. No, this is, I must be about my Father's business. So I dress like a businessman when I come to preach this gospel and come to minister to you. So remember that. Remember, I know wearing a suit and not wearing a suit drop the respect of people for you. I've seen it before in the business world. I go to a place dressed down, or they'll talk to you and stuff like that, and even they know who I am. But boy, if you walk in that bank or walk in somewhere with a nice suit on, a tie, and got your well-groomed, you get a lot of respect. So that's one of the things that I teach in this school, proper attires for men and women. Don't wear nothing. Women shouldn't be wearing nothing too tight. They can't breathe in. And they should kind of cover some of their body, because your body is precious. It's a powerful thing. And I have to deal with it as an apostle of Jesus Christ, because everybody else is scared. People are scared to talk about eating. They're scared to tell the congregation, you sick because you ain't eating right. Basically, that's probably what the problem is. But, I mean, if you want to be popular, you're not going to say nothing about that. If you want your program to go on, if you want your pennies to come in, I mean, you're not going to deal with it. But I don't want you leaving here with that mindset. The mindset is the purpose of God. What bring glory to God? What make God happy? What make Jesus happy? He sat at the right hand of God. What make the Holy Spirit happy? And these things we have to stand out alone sometime, class. I know some of y'all might think of jazzy dressing. No, business. I try to train the men in my ministry, the men in the LTMA and women, how to carry themselves. And they're doing a splendid job about it. You know, it's just effort, just effort. I mean, you just don't want to throw on. You know, the dignity of God. And you know, it's a little side journey. But I want you to have that. Now, don't let the ass take your place in ministry. That's what happened in this text. In Numbers 22, verse 28. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you struck me these three times? And Balaam said to the donkey, he talked to her, because you have abused me. I wish there was a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you. So the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you? And here he's talking to a donkey. And I think a lot of jackasses talking to jackasses. When it comes down to ministry, I got to be frank in this school, and I'm not putting nobody down. I ain't calling nobody name, but I know God wants promotion in ministry, and some ministries are never promoted. I got it, Lord. The supernatural is about promoting God in the spirit, that God may promote you in everything. That's powerful. But as Balaam talked to the ass and the ass talked to Balaam, that will not be you in Jesus' name. Understand God's miracle plan. Understanding God's miracle plan. Somebody just got saved. I got my phone here with me. Somebody just got born again on the app. My God, thank God. I'm going to go and answer. He cast out demons, was never oppressed by any. Go on and on and on, back up to where we're talking about. Understand God's miracle plan. Now, God got a miracle plan. I think you should write down Hebrews 2, 1 through 4, and Hebrews 4, 1 through 3. Hebrews 2, 1 through 4, and Hebrews 4, 1 through 3, because God has a miracle plan. Now, I think Jesus' mother preached a message that was so powerful in one sentence. In John 2:5 is the dynamic of miracles, signs, and wonders, and the supernatural. Whatsoever he says to you, do it. No matter how it look, no matter where you are, whatsoever he says to you, do it. In John 2:5, that was the first miracle of Jesus. But I think his mother ministered the message for all the works of the supernatural. I just got that. It's powerful. That Mary gave the revelation of her son functioning in the supernatural. That you function in the supernatural from this day forward. Whatsoever he says to you, do it. Powerful. That's a supernatural miracle, sign, wonders. I guess I could use the word equation or statement or anointing or announcement, whatever you want to call it. It's so powerful. So powerful. The world in which we live in is in dire, D-I-R-E, need of miracles. But miracles, class, are not accidental occurrences. They are the deliberate acts of God motivated by the desperate fate of men. Oh, my. I think I'm teaching on miracles on this Sunday coming. That was a good statement there. In essence, there is what to do to command a flow of miracles. In other words, there are certain things you can do that will command whatever just give you. John 2:5, command. John 2:5 commands a flow of miracles. Wow. Better put that down so I can have it. John 2:5. There are certain things you must know to operate the miraculous. And I think that's Ephesians 1 there. With that first prayer Paul prayed, and the three things, your calling, your inheritance, and your power. You can't understand without wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. The calling, inheritance, and the power must be released in the supernatural. Must be released in the supernatural. So you have to know that by revelation. So there are certain things you must know to operate the miraculous or to operate in the supernatural. And I think Ephesians 1 will help you and Ephesians 3 will help you along the line, both prayer. God has a miracle plan for the church, hallelujah, prepared from the foundation of the world. We see a shadow of it at creation when God made man. Adam, before the fall, was a miracle. Everything about him was extraordinary. So that was God. God wants his church, and he's going to have to do it now, become an extraordinary place for the world to run to. I have no idea otherwise, that Word of Life Christian Center, Evan Christian Word School of Ministry, LTMA, all of my partners who connected, gonna live extraordinary lives to be a witness for God. His body was suburbed. Hence, there was no provision for drugs. All the herbs in the garden were for food. His mind was miraculous. This was proved when he single-handed named all the animals intelligently without repeating any name. His spirit was in union with God. There's a secret. There's a secret of the supernatural. The secret of the supernatural is your spirit being in union with God night and day, all the time, available, willing, and able. Now, that's one of the secrets of my ministry. Like I said, I spend hours and hours every day with God on purpose, but it's because I love him. I don't want to be out of his presence. I know he might say something. I mean, he's going to say something. God says something to me all the time. I mean, the anointing is coming back on me right now. He's just talking to me, man. Just talking to me. Just the world saying one thing, God laughs at it. No, boy, look this way. Do this. I got you. You know, the 91st Psalm, Hebrews chapter 12, should be your favorite. Read them, study them, and know them. It's so powerful, even in a time like this. This is the vaccination that I give out to people. Psalm 91, God vaccination, and Hebrews 12. This is the medicine that I'm passing out. Deliverance and victory. Without doubt, Adam enjoyed life in the miraculous. The fall of man signified his exit from God's miracle. Now, class, we're going to come back. I'm going to tag this off, start here when we come back. Let's see. I'll start there with the fall of man's signals his exit from God's miraculous plan. And we'll look into that on our next session, and I'll give you more to go on. Now, all I tell you now in my closing, go and be supernatural in your going. God bless you.